for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, August the 30th, 1990. First service of the Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Akers is the speaker of the evening.
And old Samuel's going to come through. Hallelujah. That Samuel church is going to come through. For those of you that are living, if you will, in times of barrenness, you hold on. There's a birth coming. Hallelujah. There's a birth coming in a church. Because as times get more and more, the, quote, normal environment's not going to satisfy the need. The spiritual aspirin is not going to do it anymore. It's going to take a spiritual antibiotic to do it. To cure the anemia in the body of Christ, it's going to take an antibiotic to do it. And it's going to be people that are prayed up, stayed up, and know how to take the Word of God rightfully, divide it, and mix it right, and give it to them in the right dosage. And I want to salute Brother and Sister Miller, because Darlene and I were talking today that in times past, every ministry is a sword for the Lord. And in times past, the Lord has used swords made with varied mixtures of metal, some even with clay. But they're not going to get the job done now. It's going to take a ministry that is made out of pure metal. Then he's going to carry it in his hand in that last day. And those ministries are going to be ministries that have been tried by fire that's hotter than any fire that any have been through. Because they're going to have to be tempered. They're going to have to be the ministers that can stand alone. That if necessary, stand alone and take the rebuke of even people in their community. And I want you to know, for what these people have stood here and taken, may God richly bless them. And you will see people run to places for deliverance in days to come. Hallelujah. Because the things of the world are going to wither and to die. But the Word of God will stand forever. And that's what's going to come forth out of ministries like this. And if you have trouble saying deliverance, then work on it. Because you're going to get to where you can spit it out like that and say, deliverance is what I need. Hallelujah. If you don't want to try to run with a pocket full of rocks, then take them out. Get rid of them. Wash them off. I heard a man from Dallas, Texas, who pastors an Assembly of God church, and he said, there's something wrong in my ministry. There's something wrong. And God said, you've got a religious spirit. He said he walked by a mirror, and he looked in that mirror, and he said, oh, I do. But I got it. He said, God, what am I going to do? He said, shake it off. And he stood in front of that mirror, and he shook. So he decided he'd got it off. And he said, I went back to my church, and then I was ready to minister. Now, I want you to understand, I don't have a thing against denominational churches. We have a box at our church, a solid oak box, and we have a Bible that goes in there. And I put my Bible in there that I had when I was called into ministry. It limbers a rag, so, you know, we just have to kind of keep it in the box. And when I put it in there, Lord spoke to me and said, you can put that Bible in the box, but you'll never put me in one. He that hath ear, let him hear. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord saying. Do you have a box that you've got to fit God in? Well, God, you know, they didn't do it like I do it. So what? Who are you? We don't do it like that at my church. So what? Who are you? Well, you see, we kneel or we raise both hands or we dance like this or we go like that. So what? God looks through our impurities. Now, refining fire is going to burn them out. You know, I think we're going to all be shocked when we get to heaven. I think we're going to be shocked we made it. Hallelujah. Then you're going to be shocked two more times that somebody made it you didn't think would. And that somebody didn't make it that you thought would. That's going to shock you too. But we got to do it God's way. Period. I read last night, I said, Lord, what am I going to say when I get to Lake Hamilton? Tell them you love them. And I do love you. I love you with the love of the Lord. And I want you to love me. You know, you're blessed. How many believe you're blessed? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need me to give you a little secret?
What is this? This sword of the word? You keep the devil at the tip of your sword. Don't keep it in the sheath. Been a many a good man died in battle because you didn't draw a sword, Brother Graham. You get it in here. Get it in the abundance of your heart. And if you can't remember scriptures, then you look at this like a road map. And you go down Matthew to the 6th block, the 33rd house. And who lives there? Huh? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things to be added unto you. That's who lives there. Make it into a road map if you have trouble remembering scriptures. But get them, move them from here. If you have them here, they're not going to do you any good. Move them to here. Moses said the children of Israel knew God's acts, but he knew his ways. I want to know his ways. Anyhow, back to what I was saying. I said, Lord, what am I going to say? And he gives me a scripture. I'm just going to read this part, and then I give him a text. And it's going to go right along with what Sister Linda said tonight. He gave me Numbers, the 22nd chapter, and the 33rd verse, the last sentence in the 38th verse. The word... Now this is when Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I am coming to thee, and now I have any power at all to say anything. And this is what he said. The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. And that's what I'm going to speak to you tonight, the word that God puts in my mouth. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to amuse you. I'm here to give you weapons. Offensive weapons. Say offensive. You know what that means? That means to attack with. Huh? We've been defensive. We said, well, if we'll hang around long enough, the devil will come by. Honey, he's already there. You wouldn't be hanging around waiting for him. He's already got you deceived. Get him. When you get up in the morning, don't say, oh, no. Have Satan say, oh, no, they're up again. We can instill fear in his heart. You know that? He won't come back when you catch him stealing eggs. He won't come back and come back and come back. You put him on the road. I'm going to tell you. Our text is Psalms 92, verse 10. That's what I want to talk to you about. Psalms 92, verse 10. How many of you believe that you're not going to leave here like you came? Hallelujah. You know, I used to hold meetings locally around our area there, and I have an old truck that Darlene's not real proud of, and she'd always, you know, preachers are people too. Did y'all know that? The upper room bunch knows I'm a preacher, and they know I'm a people too, and that's all right. She'd always tell me, David, hide your truck and wear your coat. Have y'all all seen my coat? Everybody see my coat? I'm gonna take it off. Showed him my coat. And I didn't bring my truck, but sometime I'll bring my truck up here just for y'all to see. Amen? Praise the Lord. There is anointing here. The Holy Spirit is here even now. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit is real? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to speak to you. He's going to walk in these, between these chairs and touch you and love you. Anybody here afraid of the Holy Spirit? Huh? Is anybody here afraid of it? Don't be. Psalms 92:10. Everybody there? My horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn or an ox. I shall be anointed with hallelujah! Fresh oil! Hallelujah! Fresh oil! Hallelujah! Fresh oil! Fresh oil. Say fresh oil.
Fresh oil.
Say get it to me, God.
Get it to me, God.
Boy, we all need an oil change and a grease job. I want to explain that to you in a minute. Just hold what you got. I want to read the scripture to you. In the 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter and the 9th verse, if someone has it in the Living Bible, it's a real ringer. 16:9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Well, in verse 13 it says, what ye... Stand fast in the faith, quit like men, be strong. And in the Living Bible it says, beware of spiritual danger. That was Paul's instruction to him, to beware of spiritual danger. But in verse 9, and this goes with a song that Sister Linda was singing tonight, for a great and effectual door is opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. Paul said in that interpretation of the Bible, I prefer King James, but I worship King Jesus. Amen. He said that there has been a great door open for me for preaching and for teaching, but there are many enemies that rise up against me. So if you are in the ministry and there are doors open up for you for places of great ministry, and great ministry is great anytime you get an opportunity. Amen. It doesn't have to be 1,000. It doesn't have to be 100. It can be one. I've been in meetings with 500, and I don't believe any one of them were changed when they left. They were stirred, but not changed. What happens when you stir up dirty water? You leave it alone a few minutes and it settles right back down. Right back to the same old thing it had. If the church doesn't quit just getting stirred, not getting changed, we're not getting anywhere. Amen. If you want to know the truth, and I say this in all humility and respect, that's spiritual adultery. It is. I'm telling you the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free now. And we can go and have all these things, but unless you're changed, getting stirred won't do you a bit of good. The church needs its oil changed, and I am the church. So are you. So I'm not picking on any denomination. I don't do that. Because there's going to be some all of them make it to heaven. Amen? There's going to be some all of them that don't, too. So, you know, don't think denomination going to get you to heaven or keep you from going there. I don't believe that. But the psalmist said here that God would anoint me with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. And every time I say that, I get happy because I like fresh oil. Don't you? Don't you like... You know what happens when you get a good dose of fresh oil? You'll begin to get revelation knowledge that's new. Hallelujah! You'll begin to pick this up and you'll see things you hadn't seen before. Huh? You'll begin to pray for the sick and they'll recover. You'll begin to pray for those that are possessed and they'll be set free. You'll begin to pray for people with finances and they'll line up with the Word of God and begin to receive from it because fresh oil. I never remember the day you were saved. You know what happened then? You didn't get fresh oil, honey. You just got your first crankcase full, period. That was the first time you'd ever had oil anyhow. And you ran wide open for about 3 weeks. Every demon in hell was probably scared of you. You witnessed to everybody. You'd witness to a stoplight if you got stopped there because you had so much of that oil inside you. And then about 3 weeks later, the world kind of got in there and you got a hole in you. Oil is a liquid. Why did David use oil here? He could have used water. That's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. He could use it up. But he said, Lord, anoint me with fresh oil. We're a cistern, a container, and we have that oil inside us. What will a liquid do? What's one thing a liquid will do? Reach its level. What's another thing it'll do? It'll evaporate. What else will oil do? You want me to name a little crash for you? Unforgiveness. Strife. Murmuring, rebellion. Woo. Now you can, Paul said, be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. But he was saying, keep being filled. Keep being filled. Keep being filled. If I asked Brother Glenn, are you married? That would be, were you married? It's are you married? He's married continually. He was married yesterday. He's married today. He's going to be married tomorrow. So he keeps working on his marriage. Darlene and I do. For 23 years, we it's been line upon line upon line, precept upon precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. That's the way we built our marriage. That's the only way you can build it. If you go too fast, it won't work. You got to do it a line at a time. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit, now I'm not going to get on a controversial thing. You know, I'm going to stick to something that's not. You know, like tongues that everybody agrees on. I'm not going to get on that. But we have to keep being filled. Why did Paul tell you to keep being filled? You get unfilled. Oh, hallelujah. What happened to Saul? Huh? Saul was anointed as king. The Bible said that the Lord anointed him. And then you can find a little later on, it says it was as though he was never anointed at all. Now, how many Christians... Now, how many times have you? I'm talking to me. When I preach to you, I'm preaching to me. You hear that? If you got a minister that doesn't preach to himself when he's preaching to you, watch him. Watch him. We're very vulnerable. because the devil likes to cause a minister to fall. He does. And Brother Green, you drove the nail to the board. We have too much pleasure in this world. Absolutely too much pleasure. And you get your mind off over here. Over here and over there. And all of a sudden you start worrying about Kawasaki instead of King of Israel. I don't have anything against motorcycles or anything like that. I'm just saying we got too much going on. And all of a sudden that oil is not replenished and it evaporates. Or all of a sudden somebody says, did you hear about Brother Miller? Now, I'm telling you this so you can intercede. And what you need to do is call four friends and have them intercede. And have each one of them call four friends to intercede. I want you to understand this now. This is intercession. This is not gossip. You have just shot holes in your system carrying the anointing. Dry. Anything like that causes that oil to go. I heard a minister tell about an oil line breaking on an airplane. And he said they were flying along and said, the brand new airplane, and the oil line came off. And he said, all of a sudden, one of those engines went, and all of a sudden, nothing mattered in that airplane except fresh oil. 13,000 feet, 280 miles an hour, and seven people in that airplane, and all of a sudden, nothing mattered but fresh oil. Folks, check your oil line. And you all need to change it. We have to keep that oil changed. Oil has a characteristic called viscosity. And if it loses that, the oil in my car, I had it changed on the way up here, and I think it's making oil. That's pretty good. I hope it was. It was above full when I got up here. I may change it from a car to an oil well here any time, the way prices are going for sure. But on cars, you can go check that oil on that dipstick, and it can be full. But it's worn out. You listen? They're running on old oil. They're running on old oil. They're running on, this is the way we used to do it. They're running on old oil. Well, my book says do this, brother. Do what this book says. This book. This is the one you can do what it says, and it'll happen like it says it will happen. But you cannot run on old oil, because when you do, all it does is has become contaminated. It's become polluted. And believe me, the oil in you can come contaminated and polluted because you watch things on television, you associate with people, you're in contact with people, and they're polluting your oil. And if you don't believe that, you watch yourself when you're around certain people, and it begins to get to be monkey see, monkey do. And if you're not careful, you get to be the seeing monkey that's doing what you see them do instead of them doing what they see you do. And there's such a... The difference in the world and the church has become so hard to discern in many cases. It has. It's tough. Because people don't want to get down to where it's at. If we had to do what the apostles had to do, or the disciples, we'd be in a bind. There'd be very few preachers in America. There would. I've seen things since I've been in the ministry that appalled me. And I've seen God move through it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! But he's calling forth a sword that's made out of a good alloy that's been put under the heat and can stand it in battle, because in these final days, when he grabs that sword in his hand and he says, Satan, get thee back away from here, he wants a good sword. Hallelujah! And if you're in a church that doesn't believe, you keep praying. You keep praying, and you'll get that sweet fragrance about you. You know what the Bible says Jesus smelled like? He smelled like aloe and myrrh and cassia. There was a sweet fragrance when Jesus came in. And sometimes when we come in, we stink. Have you ever tried to minister when somebody's out in the crowd coming against you? You know, when we get in contact, and I hope that I stay in contact with the Lord. You hope I do too, don't you? Anything that I give that's God, I hope it sticks to your spirit. And anything I give that's me, I hope it slides off, because you don't need the extra baggage. You just need, he sent his word forth, and it shall accomplish what he sent it for. And you need it to stick. You need it to bring life to you. It will bring life to those that are dead. That old boy in John, that he asked Jesus to come heal his little son, he walked 7 hours to get to him. And he said, will you come heal my son? And Jesus said, thy son liveth. That's abbreviated edition. He said, thy son liveth. That old boy had 7 hours to walk home. And I bet you one thing, the enemy was on his shoulder by his good ear saying, that boy's dead. That boy's dead as a doornail. And I believe that every time that man's foot hit the ground, he said, my son liveth.
My son lives. My son lives. My son lives. My son lives. You take the word of God and you believe what it says regardless of what these eyes see. Without getting personal, I'm telling you from personal history. I'm not just throwing a line out there to you to see what you'll bite. I don't play crowds. I don't have to do that. God didn't call me to play crowds. He called me to deliver His word. What'll set you free? His word. I had a friend that went to Africa, and she said she did not understand that she could preach over here, she could preach over here, but she couldn't preach right here. A witch doctor had gone to work, and they had went to work exactly on that pulpit. And every time she'd get there, it would damn her circuit. And she finally got the idea that when I get there, I'm having problems. They broke it and got about the business. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Now, you share that in some places, they'll boo you down and get up and walk out. I want to tell you something. Deception is very deceiving. Wasn't that profound? Wasn't that good? You like that, don't you? Listen to me. Look at me. If I can convince you that your car is not out there, you'll walk home. You laugh. If I convince you, you'll walk with it. It will happen. Now, people say, that's cute. It's not meant, it is. I'm trying to bring it to you in humor, but I'm trying to get down to where we live. Who is the deceiver? Who says you can't be delivered? Who says you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost? And what power? After the Holy Ghost was come upon them, they received power. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. He said, let your mind run, I can outdo it, according to the power that worketh within you. And that ties into Acts 1 and 8. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. One of the reasons young people are messing with the cult and what have you is because they're not seeing power in the church. You know what's wrong with the church? It's got anemia. Has the church not got anemia? I'm not on anybody's case, folks. I'm going to tell you something. I fight a battle every day simply to stand on my feet. And instead of saying, devil, I'm going to get up, I get up. And that says, devil, he's back up. That's the difference in telling him he's defeated and demonstrating his defeat. Yeah. He's like a stray dog. He'll come up and he'll eat out of that food bowl and run him off. He'll go out there and you stop chasing him. And he'll come back. And he'll take away your nutrients. He'll take away everything you have. I'm going to tell you a joke, Justin. There's a joke that Justin likes. Because he was that age. The story about two little girls, a four-year-old and a five-year-old. And the little five-year-old had started the kindergarten. So that made her kind of big, you know. She was rubbing it in on the little four-year-old. And they were in some sort of conversation. And the little five-year-old said, I'll have you till I go to school, stupid. The little four-year-old said, yeah, you come home the same way. Now, does that apply to the church? Does it? Hey, we've got people that go to church that are in serious shape spiritually. You know, we had a thing about, the Lord showed me somebody that said they had a sign on the cross that honk if you love Jesus. Pull up by him, honk the horn because you love Jesus. He said, so you see it? He put the sign on there. I didn't. I honk because I love Jesus. And he showed me a sin. He needs fresh oil. Hallelujah. He needs deliverance. I want to tell you something. You cannot have anointing by having pastor on your name. That doesn't guarantee anointing. It doesn't guarantee anointing if you have reverend on your name. That doesn't guarantee anything. I see men step into ministry and they claim a blessing and authority that's not theirs. It comes with that office. They don't deserve it. Their life is in shambles. And I'm going to tell you something. Hear me. If a minister can't handle his own home, I don't want him telling me how to run mine. Ooh. Isn't that good? I want you to understand, part of the reason they can't handle their own home in many cases is we need a case of pneumonia. Hit them knees. Don't hit the phone. Hit your knees. Tell it to Jesus. Jesus can help you. Jesus alone. I'm telling you, I've had a touch from the Lord more times than I can even think about it. It's such a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Last night, we dismissed, and then we had church. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We dismissed, and then about eight of us got around, and we got to singing and just loving the Lord. And we just got prostrate in the Spirit at His feet and said, Father, we love You. Just because You're You. I don't want nothing. I don't need nothing. All my needs are met through Christ Jesus. And I want to tell You, I love You. I love You. I love You. Hallelujah. Then comes an interpretation came forth. And the Father said through that interpretation, Your praise has offered up a sweet fragrance in My presence. Hallelujah. And He said, that praise, as it went up, it burst through that covering that's been over your ministry. And I'm pouring in fresh oil through that hole. Hallelujah! Woo-hoo! Praise the Lord forevermore! And I want to tell you, I goose flesh doesn't mean you're anointed. I can take a block of ice and a cold chair and give you goose flesh. But it sure did feel good. My body did not know what to do with that power. Lord, they felt good because the Father said, Your praise. How many of you ever have an alarm clock? How many of you use an alarm clock to wake you up? You can fuss at yours. But anybody that uses an alarm clock to wake you up, you ought to be ashamed if you fuss at it. You don't believe I'm telling you the truth, do you? Do you know the reason I can sleep at night? Prayer conscience. My alarm clock's going to wake me up when I tell it to. And I go to bed knowing that at that time, it's going to ring. And if my little alarm clock were to have a spirit, it would know that when it rings, I'm going to hit it. Now, don't act like you hadn't got one of those little doze buttons on your alarm clock. Y'all are so innocent. You know, you hit it and it lets you sleep 7 minutes. If my alarm clock were living today, I'd have a jail ministry. I would. For physically abusing my alarm clock. Because I roll over and I just take my hand in. And that little alarm clock goes right back into a subtle 7 minute coma. And then it comes through, it rings, and I go back into the coma. And we do that for, what, four times? And then I get up. That little alarm clock is the reason I had the peace to sleep, because I knew it was going to wake me up. Because I praise You, Father. I thank You for my alarm clock. Heard a guy say that the other day, and I thought, boy, ooh, ooh. And God's going to deliver me from beating my alarm clock. He hadn't yet, but He's working on me. I see, I'm getting a move of the Spirit on me about it. I'm going to get gentle with it like that. But that alarm clock does its job. And we have spiritual alarms in us that go off. But some of them have seized up because the oil is drained out. And because it blocks its viscosity. And we check and say, well, it shows full on the stick. Sure it does. But it's worn out. You hear me? It's worn out. We try to live in yesterday's anointing. Isaiah 40, was it 42:9? I've lost Isaiah. You got him? Hang on to him. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9. I hope. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I'll tell you of them. Did you hear that? Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth. I'll tell you of them. How many deliverance ministries do you know about? There's not one in every town, is there? You know why? Because very few men and women are tough enough to take it. You think the Marines are looking for a few good men? God is too. Do they ever honor you for being a deliverance minister? You're driving a garbage truck. Really? That's right. And when you walk up to a person and say you're sick, which in essence you do in deliverance, and we want to inoculate you, or, you know, give you a little
Holy Ghost Roto-Rooter or something, you know, get you cleaned up and get you where you're fit for service. You know? Some of us will never be promoted any higher than we are until we get set free from some of the hooks that are holding us here. You know what would happen if you took a young child and you put straps over his shoulders and nailed him to the ground? He won't grow. He'll be like that. And some of us are being held down, partly, and if you don't hear anything, think of tonight, hear what I say. Partly because we believe what we believe because somebody told us. I'm going to tell you what, this, not just this Bible, any Bible right here is not going to do you any good. There's some of them that have sweat marks on them, but the back of the binding is still brand new. It's never been opened. And we believe what we believe because we're totally believing. Oh, he's setting me free, that Holy Ghost power. He's setting me free this very hour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes the Lord comes on like a sweet, just a sweet little fragrance. Oh, you can smell it. Have you ever seen an angel? One, two, three, four. I saw one. And you know what? It doesn't upset me one iota if someone says there's nothing to that. Because I'm going to tell you what, when he sees one, or when they see one, him or her, it won't surprise me if their eyes start swapping sockets. That's all right with me, because you know that there's a presence that God sent, and it is so powerful, it is so powerful that there's nothing going on when that dude's around. I have seen that, and I got to actually look at that, and I even got greeted and asked for his name. Now I know it. And I feel good because I know when the enemy comes against me, I reach back and I know my buddy is right there close. Because God is protecting me because I'm called to do a work. And when I finish that work, I can go home. But until I do, I'm right where God wants me to be. And I'm going to finish that work. And you say, well, you can't preach the Lincoln Road. That doesn't matter. God didn't say I had to preach. He said I had to follow him. He said I had to obey his word. Meditate in the word both day and night, and he shall make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Hallelujah. You know what success is? It's marrying the girl you want to marry. You know what good success is? Wanting her after you marry her. We've all had success. How many of you have ever applied for a job? Here's the job you needed. Then you got it. Whew. You said, Father, I know how Daniel felt, and this is a furnace, but I'm going to stay here because I asked for it. He'll make a way where there is no way. He'll make rivers in those deserts. I'm going to wind it down because I know some of you are getting sleepy and tired, and I understand that. We got physical bodies. God is going. The Holy Spirit's in you right now. I'm going to tell you, some of us are going to have to grow up. I'm talking to me. But you can say amen if you just mean it for me. That's all right. If you just say amen, you need to, brother. That's all right. You're right, I do. It's time ministers quit trying to see their name on marquees. Oh, brother, so-and-so is going to be that. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of them, brother so-and-so. You have too, haven't you? I need to talk to you. I've seen some of them too. Oh, bless God. And all the ritualistic formalities they go through. But don't forget my name. Oh, absolutely. Hey, there's two trees in that garden. One's the tree of life. And the other's the tree of knowledge. You find life in Genesis. You find life in Revelation. And in every book in between. And a man, there was one tree that God forbid them to eat of. What was it? Tree of knowledge. And when you start judging a man's anointing by his degree, be careful. You're working in tree of knowledge. You hear me? I'm not saying. I work day and night to go to college. I want you to understand that. I'm for education. I think we ought to have education. But I think we ought to put God first. And you give God that education as a tool to apply to you to work for him. There's going to come a time, people, when I minister in front of you, or this brother and this sister minister in front of you, because y'all are anointed of God, brother and sister Miller minister in front of people, and they won't be able to see their faces. I'm looking for that day. Because then when someone is healed of a terminal illness, then when some murderer is delivered and called into the ministry, they won't say, "Brother so-and-so did it. He did it." Because nobody will know. They'll say, "Well, you know, God did it." That's what we got to do. See, people are feeding God's glory. Uh-huh. You ever notice that when you get your name in lights, your price goes up? Has anybody here published a book? I know Sister Phillips that goes to our church is working on one. It's an excellent book. Good. It'll be all saints. Yeah, it's true. A lot of times after you get your book published and you get your name out, that calls for an honorarium. Chapter and verse, please. It's not in here. I'm not saying you don't deserve it. I want you to understand that. But I'm saying when you start expecting man to reward you for what God's done through you, you are in error. Period. You're in error. And we've got to get error out of the church. We've got to get ministers thinking more about setting people free, healing the sick, and just letting people move and fall in the Holy Ghost rather than saying, "I'll autograph my book right after service." I'm telling you the truth. And I don't have a book out either. If I did, I'd probably give it to you. And you might give it back. That's all right. Hey, you're not going to hurt my feelings. The thing I'm saying is we've got to get on the right channel. We've got to get that oil changed. Because, you see, we've taken in trash. Huh? Christians take in trash. See, how many of you got eyes? How many of you got ears? You take in trash. What goes in here and goes in here comes out here. I better stop that because I was going to talk about some things concerning that later on in another time. The anointing. We have to get... I'm doing so good, I got my notes upside down. That's why I don't need them anyway. I want that fresh oil. I want that rejuvenation and that regeneration. I want to be able to hear the Lord when He whispers. I don't want Him to have to yell. Huh? He's always talking. Oh, He can give you a message in tongues in your closet. Men may not be impressed, but what you do in secretly, He'll reward you openly. One of the first times I was used in tongues and interpretation, I had a great... He took up the offering, prayed for the sick, and get healed all at once. I was on a parking lot, and I was just walking out there, and the Spirit... And it was in August, too, about this time of year, and it was hot. Oh, I was panting like a sick lizard on a hot rock. And I began to just pray in the Spirit out there. And all of a sudden, the tongues changed. How many of you here pray in tongues? Oh, hallelujah. Just love Him. The tongue began to change, and I could feel the anointing. You know who I was impressing? Absolutely nobody. Not anybody ever me. But I had a desperate need in my life, Brother Green. I needed to know Monday. I needed to know what was going to happen Monday, what God wanted me to do next week, what God wanted me to do the next week. And I began to pray, and all of a sudden, there was a hush fell over me. Can you believe that? And that precious anointing. And the Lord began to speak to me. Told me I was to make a move, where I was to move, where I was to live, who I was to work for. And guess when He said go? When is faith? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Next week? Says now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He said go now. And He didn't say go west, He said go east. But I went and it happened exactly like He said it would happen. I went in and told those people, they said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm here to go to work." They said, "We're not hiring." I said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, God told me to come." That was good enough for me. He did. I believed enough. I picked up my family and did it. I demonstrated that I believed. God, listen to me, God has spoken to people all over America and told them to do things, and they did not do what God told them to do. And 2 years later, they said, "Well, God didn't do what He said He's going to do. Said He's going to make me a big minister, going to make me do this and do that and do the other." God told them to get up across Jordan and possess the land, and they stayed right over on this side of Jordan and said, "God, when the way gets clear, I'll trot right over." When He tells you to go, He means go. He doesn't mean sit and look. We've got enough spectators. If we ever get a ride in the bleachers, hell will tremble in fear. Because everybody's in the bleachers. I saw a thing on television, a cartoon. I like to watch cartoons when they're good old cartoons.
You better watch these new ones. And they had people. They had people watching a hockey game. But if we don't play hockey in Louisiana, I can guarantee you. But anyhow, they were watching that hockey game, and the two hockey teams got in a fight. Boy, they just going at it. And all the people in the bleachers set down their hot dogs and their cokes, and they rushed down on that field. And then all the hockey players sneaked out. And they went up in the bleachers, and they drank their coke and ate their sandwiches. Hold it. It's got a spiritual application. He that hath ear, let him hear. He that hath ear, let him hear. They all got down in there, and the hockey teams, one had on a red jersey, one had on a blue jersey, so you could tell they were on opposite sides. Well, they was all hugged up in the bleachers, just loving each other and laughing, looking down at them folks, and they was drinking their Coke and eating their hot dogs. How many of you can guess where the application comes from? I'm going to give you a hint. The devil comes in to your church, huh? He sends in a red jersey and a blue jersey, and you choose sides. And the red and blue jersey get in a scrap, and then you all jump in to help your scrappy and become a scrapper, and they sneak out and drink your Coke and eat your hot dog, and nothing of any spiritual good comes in that body. Where's the discerning spirit? I wasn't going to say that tonight. I'm going to get on that later because there's something else God has asked me to speak on here. It's the little foxes that will spoil your vine. Whenever we finish with Sunday service, I begin to look for Wednesday night. I turn my ear to the Father. I turn my ear to the ground. I turn my ear to what people say, what I see, what I read. Because I know God's going to, He's sending me bits and pieces. He sends you ingredients for you to cook the cake with. The bread with. And a little leaven, leaven is the whole lump. But He sends you all you need to pick up a meal. We try to have a kind of a cafeteria meal where people can come and be fed. We want them to do that. But in that light, there are people that if you don't give them exactly what they want, they say they're not being fed. I have several tools in my toolbox. I have pliers, hammers, and what have you. And just because my car breaks down and I don't have to have a hammer to fix it, doesn't mean I don't need that hammer. Because if a job comes up later, and I sure am glad I've got that hammer. God's trying to give all of us a toolbox. And He's trying to give you some tools to work with. And when you go and you say, well, I just really didn't need that, how do you know? How do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Keep your ears and eyes open. And don't always sit and see how something applies to somebody else. Ask God how the shoe fits you. You know, if I can get David cleaned up, we are sanctified by the washing of the water by the Word. And some of us need a good old bath. We need to get it washed off. We need to get the world washed off of us. I told Darlene the other day, and I know it's impractical, but I would like to almost be a hermit. Not a hermit, but a semi-hermit. Is there a semi-hermit, Brother Graham? Can you be a... I guess you could. I only want to come out and be among the children of God. Because I feel dirty when I go to a mall. I feel dirty when I'm in contact with the world. And I'm not being super religious. I want you to understand that. But my spirit is sensitive to what's working in some people. And if you go up and tell them that they need to be set free, they don't have an ear to hear that yet. You go tell them they need to be set free of a religious spirit, they don't hear that. You have people that welcome that? We don't either. Because they've been taught that way. And they got God in a box. And I ask you tonight, not try to walk in another man's anointing. Amen. When I first went into ministry, I made a terrible mistake. I looked at men. And I see this. I admire this man right here. He's on every tape that I've got from Lake County. That's right. And at the end of side one, thank you. He's on every tape I've got. I admire that man. I admire his wife. I'm not pinning roses on him. My roses won't do any good. God's called them, and they're serving my Father. And I'm their brother, because he's my Father too. He's called them to do a different work than I am called to do. He's called them to do one of the toughest works there is. Believe me, the Chamber of Commerce doesn't send you a welcome letter when they find out that you're a deliverance minister in their town. It's not like having a new utility come in. And it is the most important ministry, Brother Glenn, that you can have. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. And some of us carry an extra load, extra baggage on us, and we need to be loose from that, where we can run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint, and carry the load for the Lord and not the world's load that's stuck to us. We need to be so anointed with the Holy Ghost and have so much oil on us that don't nothing stick except the Word of God. And you can be that slick. You can get so anointed. You know, they pack sardines with oil. They sure do. And when the Holy Ghost starts packing churches with oil, when somebody rubs you like that, you'll be so slick it'll go right by you. You won't have time to murmur. You won't have time to get angry. You won't have time to fuss out about. You won't have time to get your feelings hurt. Because when you get your feelings hurt and the Lord speaks to you, some of us are little bitty kids in great big bodies. But when God speaks to us, we say, "Not now, God, I'm mad at him." And he's giving you something that you need desperately. You hear me? I want you to understand that. You know why we have church at 2 in the afternoon at the upper room? We had a bunch of young people when it started. And I told them, I said, "I want you to get up like you're going to church. Because number one, the things we fight with on a Sunday evening service is, well, it's the only day I've got to spend with my kids. And I want to watch the tube with them. I can't mow my yard on Sunday because God gets mad at that. So I had to do that Saturday because I couldn't spend time with my kids, you see. One excuse is as good as another." And the other one says, "That's the only one I've got to sleep late." I swear, good, we got service at 2. Just sleep all that morning up and come to church at 2. We'll get you out in time to go watch TV with your kids or something on Sunday night. And some of the lamest excuses, "Well, people won't think I go to church at all if they see me out on Sunday night." Well, you haven't been going anyway. So what's the deal? You know, we try to trick God. A friend of mine told me one time, said, "Don't jank Jesus. He already knows." He does. We offer the lamest excuses for what we do. We can justify anything we want to do. The Lord gave me a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, to tell those people to rest calmly. How many of you know that when you're starting to get ready to go to church, I don't care if you've got 5 bathrooms and 4 family members, you're about 1 mirror short. A hairdryer goes out. Rollers won't work. The goldfish smiles at you. The coffee pot boils dry. The whole thing. And here you are. You come to church. And boy, you're really ready to see whatever God's got for you. He said this to me on the way to church. And they sat right there. And as we ministered to them, as we let rivers of living water flow out of our innermost being to them, she's sitting there looking at him saying, "Boy, when he says amen, I'm going to finish what we started this morning." And he's sitting there looking at her saying, "When he says amen, I'm going to make her submit big time." And they're not even hearing what you're saying. And if they do hear it, they start home and a car pulls out in front of them or something and upsets them, and there goes the ground again. The parable of the sower will explain that to you. You hear me? You're the soil. You're the soil. You need to prepare to receive the word. Be fertile. Be good soil. Bring forth fruit. Bring forth a crop. Bring forth a proper crop. Well, see, don't come to church. I tell you what, if you're going to get mad at anybody, you get mad at the devil. Sit back there and pray in tongues for about 45 minutes. We'll all get blessed. But don't sit in a circle with something on your mind other than the service. Have you ever been to a professional football game? You weren't sitting there thinking about anything but that football game, I promise you. You're thinking about that football game. That's what you went. I'll often think we ought to charge for folks to come in. Sell tickets. They get in free and they treat it like it's free. I want to tell you something. The gospel is free, but it ain't cheap. We got the two words mixed up. We need to get us a thought and learn that it may be free, but it ain't cheap. How many of you want your oil change? I do. How many of you want a grease job? Do you know when you get a grease job, you get more miles per gallon?
You do.
When you change your oil regularly, your engine will last longer. It doesn't work as hard when pulling a heavy load. If I can get our musicians to come, some of these days I'll preach off these notes, because I sure blew it tonight, as far as those notes are concerned. But my scripture at first was what I was supposed to tell you, was I'm going to speak the words that the Lord gives me for you. Philip Cameron told me something one time, and I feel that there's some of you here that are waiting in expectancy. Expectancy. When you see a bird egg, that bird egg looks the same the first day that it's hatched as it does the first day that it's laid. I was born on a farm. I know laying comes before hatching. That bird egg looks the same the day after it was laid as it does the day before it's hatched. But inside that bird egg, there's something going on. And that old mama bird is just as patient as she can be. She'll sit there and let it rain on her, let the wind blow, just like the Holy Ghost does us. There's something going to hatch. It's time for you to hatch. It's time for you to come forth and shake your wings and soar with the eagles, because that's what God is looking for. You are more than an overcomer. But if you don't believe that, you're in trouble. That doesn't mean everything's going to be peachy. If you're not tried and tested, I don't want to go in battle with you. Amen. When I was in service, they were going to ship us overseas. And one of the men that gave me the hardest time had 90 credited kills. And I said, God, if I got to go over there, that's the dude I want to be with. He'd already been 3 times. I worried about him because he was volunteering to go a 4th time. And it really wouldn't have been any problem. I would have certainly let him have my ticket. He wouldn't have had to harass him to go. But that man, he was battle ready. We got to begin to think open. We get slapped so quick, and Christians begin to think defense, trying to work their way out of what the devil put them in. We need to think offense. He told Joshua, rise, cross Jordan, and possess the land. If someone comes and tells you tomorrow, I'm going to repossess your house, I'm sure you'd say, well, just a minute, all I'm going to do is get my bag, I'll leave. No, you wouldn't. He asked him by what authority he came. Why did you see there to repossess your house? That's your house. And I can assure you that when they arose and crossed Jordan, that to possess the land, that not everybody in the land says, well, that's all right, we'll just back right off. Did not they say that in their eyes we appear as grasshoppers, and in our eyes we do too? Stop looking at yourself like a grasshopper. You've got an almighty God. The word of the Lord. How many of you want the word of the Lord to come into you saying, hallelujah? When it becomes like honeycomb and you eat it, the word of the Lord will come into you saying, amen. We want Abraham's blessing with Thomas' faith, and that's not going to work. That's right. It's not going to work. You're going to have to get in there and get it. As we begin to sing, hallelujah, I know what key. Whatever key I don't sing in what key I talk in, so I don't have any idea. But I want you to sing hallelujah. And just let the Spirit of the Lord minister to you. Just let Him minister to you. And get it started. We put liquid wrench on nuts and bolts to begin the loosening process before we ever try to take them off. We'll tap them and put liquid rinse on them and let it saturate them and get the rust off. Some of us will get that oil change even as we begin to love Him. Just love Him. That's all. That's not hard, is it? Jesus loves you that much. You just touch Him and love Him. He said it's imperative that I go away, that a comforter might come, a paraclete, one to lead you and teach and strengthen you, counsel you. There's some of you here that even right now, you say, well, I was so anxious to get here, but I'm not sure what God wants me to do. Well, listen. See what He says.
Brother Glenn, that was a wise word you gave a while ago about the word. That was a wise word about the word of prophecy. And all four words of prophecy. We had a lady in church I used to attend that was not guarded. That man didn't have the wisdom this man had. And this lady had a word that she was to marry this guy down the street. The problem was that man's wife and three kids objected to that. She did that, Brother Glenn, on a word. She acted like a Christian. She went to a church that taught Christian teaching. And she was deaf. You hear me? Deceived. She believed that she was to marry that guy, and she set it in her mind, and she did that. Crashed his home, and obviously just destroyed the children. And she married him, and it lasted almost no time. She had success, people, but it wasn't good success. My spirit so much bore witness to what you said. And it was well-intending people that reinforced what she was to do. That won't work. We're going into battle, we're going into win, and we're going to win, but we're going to have a fresh anointing to do it. And don't run from new things. Our job is to defeat the enemy and get the lost saved and populate heaven and to worship our God, our Father, and our Creator, not to get off in the flesh and do something. The only flesh God accepts is that's been burned on an altar. You hear that? That's the only flesh he'll accept is when you've offered it up to him as a sacrifice. Hallelujah.
think so. See, we're reverencing the Holy Spirit. He's here. The Holy Spirit is here. The anointing is here. You can play soft in the distance. Some of you are being set free right now, even if you just love the Lord. But you sing to the Holy Spirit. There's a sweet anointing that's right here, right now. Let the Lord do it. Some of us be changing our oil right now. He's giving you fresh oil. You're beginning to feel something flutter inside you. You're not to be moved by that feeling, but it's just a sign to you that there's things happening. Some of you are beginning to reminisce even about the day you were saved. Some of you are beginning to feel that desire. I feel in my spirit that there's a couple of young people here. I believe there's one man and one young lady. God has dealt with you about, hallelujah, going into the ministry. And you feel challenged by that, because maybe you feel that you need to follow in the footsteps of your parents or your brother or your sister, or you're timid about it, or whatever, you feel inadequate. I want to say to that young man and that young lady, you and I within ourselves are inadequate. But when the Father calls you, He anoints you to do that job. He'll not put something before you that you can't handle. And I feel that one of you feels that you've been contaminated by the things of this world. That's probably why you're here, is to get deliverance from those things, to get washed clean, and to be set free. And there's some of you here that are like Samuel's mother, that you have asked for a child, you know, a child in the spirit to birth something, whether it's an intercessory ministry or to teach women's or men's groups or lay ministry or whatever. The word preacher probably bothers you a little bit, and it's all right. I want to tell you something. God will continually birth that in you, and it'll be as dynamic as a Samuel if you'll give it to Him like Samuel's mother did. Please hear me. Please hear me. Please hear me. You let God birth that in you. Let God birth that in you. And you give it to Him. And you leave it at the temple, if you will, like she did Sam. You leave it at the temple. And let God bring it forth. Let God bring it forth. Please quit trying to ration in your mind how you can get a theology degree or whatever before going into the ministry. Get under a good minister and learn. The disciples, the scribes that I perceive, that these are unlearned men. But there was such anointing and power in what they're saying. I'm not calling anyone to the ministry. I want to tell you that. I don't do that. My Father does. Nobody called me into the ministry. And I won't be guilty of doing that. And I want to define ministry for you. Right now, some of you
here. I pray that God's going to call some of you to pray for the Upper Room Ministry. Support us in your prayers. I need your prayer. Too many ministries are interested in your pennies. I'm interested in your prayers. And God is calling forth some of you here that is going to show you things in the spirit realm that you are to intercede about. You are to put the block up. And consider yourself. Consider yourself. Be ministered to while you're here. God's going to do something for you. But you've got to show him the respect of expecting it to happen. Hallelujah. Abre sombre qui soto. Lote li passe broche hata. La massa calabasta calabasta. Arle le becerro. Ronde li che a seco lo bosso. Rimbalo soto le tabasicri a fondo. Non vede la bastigri a castanda massa. Arle le becerro. Eco lo to sombre rito lo bosso. I will heal your body, soul, and spirit this night. I will stir the waters. I can make any pool a pool of Bethesda. And I will stir these waters. I will stir these waters. You step in these waters and receive. You receive. You receive that you have need of. You receive that. Give me something to bless. Extend yourself. Give me your faith. Give me your obedience. It's more desired than the sacrifice. And I stir the water as you step in. I stir them. 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 I'm making available to you today a pool that will wash you clean, body, soul, and spirit. For I forgive your sin for mine own sake. And I forgive your iniquity for mine own sake. I bring forth that which has been planted in you. I bring life to it. There have been those that planted, there have been those that watered, and I give the increase. You are the source. I bring it forth. By faith, step into that pool of Bethesda and receive. Step in and receive. Step in and receive. Step in and receive. Thank you. few years ago. He said, I'll watch over you as you sleep. I walk with you throughout the day. His word says that. He says, I'll speak to you when you wake up. The Lord spoke to me. He said, I'll speak a word. And I said, God, speak your word. I want to hear your word. Just one word. Just one word. And when I woke up, he spoke one word to me, and that word was invoke. That's what I did. I thought he must want me to pray for a football game, a prayer of invocation or something like that. I really did not know. As I sought him, he said, David, you are to call forth things. That's what invoke means. To call them forth. You hear me? I'd like to pray for you. I really would. And just and I want to pray for you and Brother Miller, if you and Sister Miller will grant it. If it doesn't bear witness, your spirit won't hurt my feelings. But darling, I'd like to pray for both of y'all. There'll be others of you, as God mentions it, as God shows me. I'm not going to pray for you, God. I'm going to pray for you corporately, but I'm not going to call you out individually unless God does that. I don't use tricks and gimmicks. I don't have to. I work for the Father. My Father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And if he needs to, he'll sell a cow. You hear me? Stop thinking like the world thinks. Please, I beg of you, stop thinking like the world thinks. Get the mind of Christ. Get the mind of Christ. So I want to pray for you. Oh, thank you, Lord. I told you, Lord, for I only know your name, but you're my brother, and I love you. Bill, that's good enough for me, Bill. God bless you. See your hands, Bill. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for Bill. I thank you for Bill. I thank you, Lord, for this man's humility. I thank you for his meekness. I thank you, Father, that you show Bill your way. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to Bill and that you and Bill have a communication that he hears from you. Yes. Father, I speak to Bill's self-image by the authority you have given me, and I command his spirit man to rise forth. Bill, you are as good as anybody. You are as qualified as anybody, for it is the anointing of the Lord that qualifies you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. Let your mantle fall on Bill. In Jesus' name, let your mantle fall on Bill. Let Bill move and form the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let him see healing take place as he sings, as he speaks, as he ministers. And Father, let Bill speak life to those things that seem to be dead, God. Let him see light come into them because of the anointing. And let Bill go back quietly, Father, and bring healing to those that are sick. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak stillness. I speak a peace to any turbulence that would try to rise up in this man. I speak strength to his knees, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that his steps are ordered by you. I thank you, Father, every step this man takes is ordered by you. And I thank you, Father, that healing virtue flows through these hands. Father, in Jesus' name, Paul said, I impart not only to you the good news of the gospel, but my very own soul. And I thank you now, Lord, that you impart a special anointing to Bill. I thank you, Father, that you take Bill, and Bill teaches the weak to say, I am strong. He teaches them to boldly come forth. I thank you, Father, that a royal robe of righteousness is around this man. I thank you, Lord, that the enemy recognizes his authority. I thank you, Lord, that he has on all the armor, Father, and you cover his back. Father, I thank you for ministering healing to Bill's body. Any that he needs, Father, every whit whole in Jesus' name. Every whit whole in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Bill? When the Lord commissions an officer in his army, the enemy's army knows it. You hear God. Don't listen. He said unto anointed men of God, but don't listen to the world. You listen to God. When I saw you up here tonight, I saw a sweet spirit on you. And I smelled that fragrance that they talked about with Jesus. See, not everybody has that. Some of us still think. That anointing is going to bless them. But I want you to see yourself as Jesus sees you. Don't see yourself, no matter what the past has. When he looks back, he only sees Jesus' blood. That's all you need to see when you look back. So, matter of fact, if you look in the rearview mirror, you're going to run off the road. You just look where he goes and see someone. And when you pray for people, I want you to consider that you've done something. All right? You call things that be not as good as you are. You reach out and you know that anointing rests upon you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you give me a revelation now. I thank you, Lord, that he flows in the gift of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father, that you're active in him. I thank you, Father, because of his humility, you said, I can lift this man up. He can be exalted because he'll always lift Jesus up. And when we lift him higher, all men are drawn unto him. I thank you, Father, for commissioning Bill in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for the hunger that's in his spirit. May it be satisfied as he feasts on your word. I thank you, Lord, for Bill. I thank you that he follows your direction. And I thank you, Lord, that Bill sees everything that is as important in your kingdom.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.